I wanted to start by talking about Edward Snowden. Snowden, of course, the former NSA contractor who leaked details of surveillance programs to the press. He's in political asylum in Russia right now. The federal government has labeled him as a traitor, releasing this classified information, compromising these programs. How do you see Snowden, and how would you view his actions?
We believe that he has contributed immensely to the public debate and the public understanding about the government's surveillance powers. Even President Obama said that he welcomes the debate that's now underway, and I think it's undeniable that he's done the public a service by allowing the American people, and in fact people around the world, to understand what steps the government is taking and the NSA is taking to intercept and read and surveil their communications, their everyday emails, phone calls, text messages, internet chats, and that there's a very important First Amendment perspective to his contribution to that debate.
Yeah, just how much did he reveal that wasn't already known or guessed at?
Snowden revealed a huge amount of information. People had kind of suspected around the edges over the last 10 years that some of this surveillance was going on, but I don't think anyone knew how expansive the NSA's surveillance was and that it had been authorized in all of these express ways by the secret FISA court, which oversees much of the surveillance that we're now learning about.
The NSA and the Obama administration have argued that these programs have been important in keeping Americans safe from a really complex and unpredictable enemy that is global terrorism.
It's true, and there's a balance to be struck, as the ACLU recognizes, between security and civil liberties. But we feel that the balance in this case has gotten far, far out of hand, out of alignment, and that the steps that the government is taking to read through or keep records of the communications of everyday innocent Americans is disproportionate to the types of threats and the, in fact, the unique value that the government claims this information provides. We believe that it has not contributed in a uniquely valuable way to the government's counterterrorism efforts, and in fact, more narrow, more targeted processes could provide the same intelligence value while protecting American civil liberties.
Can we describe some of those? What would be appropriately narrow in terms of this surveillance?
When the government wants to intercept a communication or keep a record of a phone call placed by an American, it should have a specific basis for believing that that American's communication is relevant to an investigation on terrorism. The process should be individualized. It shouldn't be a dragnet bulk collection program that sweeps in a record of every phone call and every conversation and only later decides what's relevant and what actually bears on the government's investigations.
The law which governs digital privacy, the Electronic Communications Privacy Act, that was passed in 1986. Let's talk about how that law has changed since that time, more than a quarter century ago, regarding and accommodating the modern digital world.
The law that currently governs our electronic communications is wildly out of date. As you said, it was passed in 1986 when the internet and the World Wide Web, as we know it today, did not even exist. And the law continues to include arcane distinctions controlling when the government can access our emails or other electronic communications. For instance, a different standard applies to emails that are more than 6 months old versus emails that are less than 6 months old. These distinctions don't make any sense in the world, in the digital world that we live in today. And one of the most important things that Congress could do would be to update those laws, both to make them map onto the technology and to preserve Americans' privacy.
How can this very complex digital world align with our protections as Americans against unwarranted searches and seizures?
I think that we need to remember what the Fourth Amendment has stood for, even prior to the digital age. And that was the fact that the government had to have suspicion into you as a person before it could search your house, your car, anything else that was private that belonged to you. And in the digital age, the government is trying to turn that relationship on its head. It would like to collect everything, search everything in the first place, and only decide down the line what the proper basis for suspicion is. It would like to collect everything now and come up with suspicion later. And part of what needs to happen is we need firm rulings from our courts about what the Fourth Amendment stands for and the ways in which it protects our privacy, even when we rely on phone companies or email service providers to transmit our personal communications to people that we expect will maintain their confidentiality. And we expect our phone company and our email service provider to ensure that our communications remain private. Mm-hmm.
Has that conversation started? Have the NSA program leaks provided by Edward Snowden, have those started this conversation? Where are things in Congress right now?
I think it has started that conversation. The NSA revelations have provided the impetus to get the public talking about this issue, and in turn, Congress is thinking about this issue. Despite the fact that many of these surveillance programs were secretly in place for almost a decade or more, we are now on the brink of considering very significant reforms to how the NSA conducts surveillance, and hopefully on the heels of that, how we think of digital privacy writ large. And right now there is a proposal in Congress by Senator Leahy of Vermont and Representative Jim Sensenbrenner, an original author of the Patriot Act, who's a U.S. rep from Wisconsin, which would make significant reforms to the NSA surveillance programs. They would rein in the mass call tracking program so that the government could not collect a record of the metadata related to every phone call that every American makes. It would put greater protections into the government's collection and searching of Americans' international communications, and it would remake the secret FISA court to make it more transparent so that there would be a privacy advocate before the court for Americans' privacy interests, and so that the American public would know a great deal more about the secret legal interpretations that court is producing.
What's standing in the way of those changes?
There are significant hurdles still to be overcome. One of them is the fact that Congress itself is of two minds about this. The Intelligence Committee led by Senator Dianne Feinstein has proposed a bill that would essentially keep the current status quo, that would write the current surveillance programs more explicitly into the law without making changes that significantly improved Americans' privacy protections or significantly added to the transparency around that we need to have a public debate around these issues. And the other issue is that the public needs to become more engaged. They need to speak to their representatives. They need to understand the risks that the mass collection of this information poses for their privacy, that even if now they don't see the consequences of that collection, it sets a very dangerous precedent for what the government may see and may do with their information in the future.
The ACLU is actually applauding the state of Montana for being a leader in protecting digital privacy, including for being the first state to require state and local law enforcement to get warrants before accessing cell phone data, mobile device data. Is the state doing enough? How progressive are we being on this front?
Montana has really led the charge in terms of protecting digital privacy. And one of the heartening things about being here and talking to people in Montana is the way that this conversation was already ongoing before the Snowden revelations. So Montana has paved the way by passing laws that restrict the use of cell site location information and other GPS tracking information by police departments without a warrant. It now requires police to get a warrant to have that information, and also restricting the use of drone surveillance in police investigations without a warrant. So people are talking about these issues here. There's certainly more they can be thinking about. The use of automated license plate scanners is one issue. The use of, by companies, of electronic information that they gather from their customers might be another area, but Montana is a very heartening example, and it's great to see a state thinking so hard about these issues.
How much do the laws that we've passed here in Montana, how relevant are they to the federal programs? Do they impede those in any way?
The laws here don't impede the programs, but they set an important example, because we don't yet have laws at the federal level that would require federal investigators or federal law enforcement to get a warrant. That is a process that right now is being played out in the courts. But what would be even better, and is the route that Montana chose as a state, would be to require, as a matter of policy and law, for law enforcement agents to get a warrant in order to track our location over time in support of a criminal investigation, to go through the same neutral magistrate that they have to go to get a traditional warrant.
Is there anything the individual can do to protect themselves if they are concerned about these programs?
There are certain steps you can take. You can use an email service provider that encrypts communications as they're sent across the internet, and that there's no perfect guarantee, but it certainly enhances the privacy of your communications to use a provider that adds that service onto its email client or email platform. Some other steps that people can use is taking advantage of what privacy protections are built into some of these services. You should look carefully at the privacy options and preferences in your Gmail email service or your Facebook profile. You have some ability to control that information, and you should take advantage of it. And the biggest thing is that people should be speaking to their representatives in Congress and in the state legislatures to tell them that this is an issue that they really care about and that has an impact on their day-to-day lives and their day-to-day feeling of autonomy, freedom, and privacy. And I think for our reps to hear that would make a big difference in the reforms that are under consideration now.
I've been speaking with Patrick Toomey, ACLU National Security Project Attorney. Mr. Toomey, fascinating discussion.
It's great to be on your program.